Well, good morning, 9 a.m. Welcome to this beautiful fall day to Restoration Church. I want to thank you for coming out to church today. If this is your first time, welcome in. If this is not so first time, welcome back. Really great to see you guys this weekend. As mentioned and as seen all over the church, it's National Back to Church Sunday, and churches all across America are hosting guests today, so you're in very good company. So whether this is your first time or not so first time, we pray that you encounter God in a powerful way. And that's exactly what we're prepared to do, is to ask God to do something great in your life today. About 30 minutes from now, we're going to ask some prayer partners to come forward, and they're going to be at the front of the building, and we're going to take a special opportunity to pray for individuals, to pray for families today. And we've been believing all week long that the Lord was going to bring in people today that need some strength, need some encouragement, need some breakthrough in your life. And that's what a life-giving church does. It prays. It calls upon the name of God. And we're just going to really believe for great things for you and for your family at the end of the message today. So I want to start today a little bit of a deviation from turn to the book of Daniel. We've been studying the book of Daniel for some weeks now, but I want to set that aside till next week to talk to you a little bit about Back to Church weekend and the influence that the church may be able to have upon your life. You know, my wife and I, Melanie, came to the Fountain Valley, 13 years ago now in 2010. It seems like time has really gone by quickly. And we came here with a long-term vision to spend many years of our life to invest in this community. But let me tell you the reason why we came here. Yes, it's a wonderful community, wonderful people, which I'm sure you can attest to. But what really brought us here is we believed in the local church. Like, we just have this really high view of the church. And yes, churches are broken and churches are imperfect and they're led, listen closely, by very imperfect pastors. I know that may surprise you, but they are. But we really have this high view of the church. And I'll tell you that because the church made such an impact on my life as a teenager. I grew up in a pretty dysfunctional home. My parents are amazing people, hardworking people. My dad was a great provider. But let's just say he liked the sauce a little bit, right? Quite a bit of alcohol at our house and some anger issues at our house. I think every significant male in my life drank too much and was a little hot-headed, right, and provided for a lot of crazy dysfunctional things at our home. And we were at a point and place in our life where we needed some change, and we went to church, and I think that was the greatest decision that my mom and dad could have ever made for me and my brother. And for all these years later, the church had such a distinct impact upon our life. As a matter of fact, it's hard for me to even imagine today the trajectory of my life without the influence of a life-giving church. Again, I mentioned that my family was in a bad spot, lots of dysfunction growing up. And I discovered that when I was at the church, that the church had something to offer that the world did not. I loved to play sports growing up and be busy, 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 busy. But there was something that happened in church that couldn't happen on the field. It couldn't happen in getting good grades. It couldn't happen from being a good kid. There was just something life-giving in church. And the scriptures had something to say. And to me, it was amazing, like, to hear, whether it was the youth pastor or the pastor of our church, talk about stuff, and it was as if it was speaking to me, like, oh my goodness, how do they know that about me? And it was the Holy Spirit that was speaking life into my young teenage soul. And what I loved about the church is that people genuinely cared. Again, people are far from perfect, but I sensed that people wanted me there. I sensed that people had, listen closely, the right agenda for my life, to point me to God, to teach me to follow God, the right agenda of teaching me the way of love and the way of truth. And the church became my home away from home. It became my spiritual family. And I can't imagine where my life would be without the influence of a life-giving youth group. We had a wonderful youth pastor who spent a lot of time with me and youth sponsors. I still have a Bible today that was given to me by one of the youth sponsors who was involved in the youth program at that time, who really believed in me. And I remember just being a teenager and being presented with my first Bible, and it was all written in there, and a prayer for me, and I still have that Bible today. I cherish it today. It's falling apart. It's ratted and tattered. Not very good for reading because it can barely hold together, but it just made an impact on my life. And again, that all came from the context of the local church. And I think that without the influence of the local church, I would have certainly went the ways of the world. I would certainly went the ways that so many young teenagers do and young adults do. I think that I probably would have lived a lot of my life under the influence of a lot of things other than Jesus. And here I am all of these years later. And at the same time that God was blessing me in a local church, he was blessing my wife in a local church. And it was through the influence of the local church that my wife and I would meet. And sometimes the most significant relationships in your life are developed in a place where there are like-minded people. And I'll tell you what, we just married off our 20-year-old daughter a few months ago, and I couldn't be more grateful for my son-in-law, whose parents were wise enough to raise him in the auspice of a church. And their core values are very similar. And I think that their marriage has incredible chance for success and blessing and people who love one another because Jesus Christ is at the center of their marriage. And the local church does a great job at raising up kids with similar values who can meet. And the church is a place where your family can thrive. I am a benefactor of a strong local church. I want to make a case today for the importance of the church in your family and in your family's life. I'd like to invite Billy and Rayanne Diller to come on up. I'd like to interview them a little bit and their story about how they found the church. Rhiannon has recently taken over the directorship of our youth ministry. About this time last year, our wonderful youth pastor transitioned on and we needed to find someone. And she, off the pews, came into the realm of youth ministry and does an amazing job. So I thought it'd be really cool for you to kind of hear, how do you like go from lack of faith to faith to being like a youth director and teaching scripture? Like, what does that whole process look like? So it's my understanding that you guys moved to the Fountain Valley, I don't know, like a decade ago or something like that, and moved in across the street from the church over here. And like, how did you get to church? Like, what was going on at that stage in your life, and how did you end up here?
Do you want to start this time? This is our second service, so.
Sure. So when we moved here, she was an atheist, and I was far away from, I was more agnostic, I would say. But our daughter was 4, and we were tired of paying tons of money for daycare, so we started looking for a preschool, and we landed on one that had a Tuesday and Thursday option, which was cheaper for us. So we decided to go with that, and it was Rainbow Friends.
Mm-hmm. You guys remember that? Like, if you've been here a long time, Miss Renee Green. So before they were Rainbow Friends, now VCA. So we've been here a long time.
So yeah, so we put our daughter in that. And from that, Stone Soup was a thing. So we were...
How many have seen Stone Soup before?
Mm-hmm.
It's the cutest little play. And
right.
It's great because it causes parents to come in and be a part of the church to experience some things. And mm-hmm. Right, and there was some kind of hook. We reeled you in, what did that look like?
Yeah, they used our daughter to get us here.
Yeah. She was a little catalyst.
So we were told, yeah, come on in. They'll do a little play. It'll be at the beginning. Then you can leave right after. So we're thinking, great. Come in, then we'll go to dinner.
Mm-hmm. What do you guys think happened? Did we get a leave?
The guest services people locked the back doors.
They
couldn't get out.
They held us hostage. I remember the row that we sat in, and this guy was up here preaching. So that was the initial start of our relationship with Restoration Church, and that was not the moment that we started our relationship with Jesus Christ, actually. It wouldn't have been until about 4 years later, right? And I really genuinely believe that that night, or maybe conversations with Renee later, that those seeds were planted. And, you know, if any of you didn't grow up in the church, I'm sure that you can probably see these pivotal moments in your life where God planted those seeds, right? And I genuinely believe that the local churches in our body are there for that. And I really think that God was instrumental in using Restoration for that. So that's kind of a little snippet into how we found Restoration.
Tell us a little bit about what your life was like back then versus now. Like, what's changed?
So finances were tough. We were working paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah.
We were having marital issues. Drinking was the thing on the weekends and most nights during the week.
Yeah.
It was rough.
Very unhealthy, I think. And please don't mistake that for, like, judgment. I want to be really tactful in that. This is us very much talking about our own lives. But it was very much, you know, addictive things in our own lives. And, you know, there was no foundation for either of us, nor was there a foundation for our kids. We knew that we wanted Kimber, which is our daughter, she's not here today, but we wanted her to have a better foundation than what we had growing up. And that was priority for us, which is why we put her in a Christian preschool, which is ironic. So it was really unhealthy. And I think that without that foundation of a local church or a church body, which is what we have here, it's easy to go off of a cliff. And we were really headed in that direction.
So what's your life like now? Like, how has Christ come in, and what kind of positive changes are you seeing in your family and in your life?
So about a year after we started attending, that was our first time volunteering. It was the 25-year picnic.
It was.
And that was the first time we volunteered. Then another year or two later, she started volunteering with kids. And as we began volunteering more, I think our lives started making bigger changes. Christ started helping us, giving us more opportunities.
Yeah, I would say so. And I think that, again, I'm not up here saying, like, oh, volunteer and your lives are going to be completely transformed. That's not what we're saying. I think that it is important to know that it takes time. There was a story I had read, or like maybe a devotional I was reading, that, you know, a carpenter, like, takes time, right, to build something, and there's, like, this process that they take to, like, you know, there's a lot of nailing and cutting of wood and, you know, this process, and, you know, for the wood and for the building, right, it's very probably painful, you know, and it's an inanimate object, but it is a very rough process, and it is for the carpenter as well, right? Like, they're gonna smash their hands, and they're gonna, you know, there's a lot of damage that can be done. But I would liken that to the life of a brand new believer as well, and even possibly a seasoned believer. And I think in our lives, it was very similar, that it takes time to become seasoned, and it did for us. It was not immediately, you know, this amazing thing. Like, in fact, like, we're not promised this incredible life right away. I don't think that comes until, like, the next one. So for us, it was still hard, right? The addictions were still there. Like, it took time for God to take those things away. But the more we implanted and got that foundation of this body and got to know fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and got involved in ministry and got to know these amazing people, it was just those things slowly healed. And God used the people in this church to, like, work in us, and, you know, it was really incredible. So
Ree, final question for you. Tell us about that moment when no belief in God to belief in God. Like, what happened to you?
Loaded question. Okay, so it wasn't here. It was actually shortly, I would say, 4 years after. I actually got in a car accident, or almost got in a car accident. So I have epilepsy, and I had a seizure while I was driving, and I should have died. And I don't know if any of you guys are familiar with that, but I should have died. And it was probably the most terrifying time of my life. And I remember being pulled over on the side of the road, and like, that was it. And I like, had this relationship with a God that I didn't believe in, but I knew at that time. I said, God, like, I'm yours. Like, that's it. Like, I'm at the end of the road. Like, I'm at the end of my rope, and it's time, you know? So at that time, I just remember committing my life to God. And I said, I don't know everything. I don't know, like, really what is happening right now, but, like, I'm yours. And that was when I reached out to the church and I said, well, this is the only church I know. Like, I know Renee and the preschool, so I'm going to reach out. And I remember this pastor, like, preached one of the days. And so that is how it started. And I went then from being an atheist to this amazing, like, road and path to God. And it, like, the rest is history, yeah. Right? Is that what they say?
Yeah. So. Well, we are so grateful for you guys, mm-hmm. and it's been awesome to see this last decade, the kind of transition that God's bringing into your life. So God bless you. Give these guys a round of applause. Isn't that great?
Thanks for having us. I so appreciate you. Thanks, guys.
So I want to take just a few minutes to talk to you about three back-to-church blessings, the type of things that God can bless your family with as you begin to prioritize the life of the church and what the life of the church can do for you. So I think this could be a list of 10, but I've narrowed it down to three. And the first is this. One of the back-to-church blessings is the church is very good at bringing rest and recovery into people's lives, probably better than any other place in the world or any secular environment out there. You know, our three kids are all older now, but I have many memories of our kids being small and being at home. And how many know that when your kids are little and you have three of them, it's exhausting? Like, nothing is restful when you have little kids, okay? Cooking and cleaning never ends. Laundry is like forever. Sippy cups, car seats, snacks, backpacks, events, activities. Can anyone relate to what I'm talking about? Yeah? Checkups, open houses, they get a little bit better. Little League, and everything gets more and more and more and more expensive. Even vacations are exhausting when your kids are small. You know what I'm talking about? Like, the dumbest thing you'll ever do is, hey, babe, we really need to take a vacation, and what should we do? And you're already tired and wore out. Let's go to the Magic Kingdom. And man, talk about needing marital counseling afterwards. Talk about exhausted and broke and in debt and all family wanting to choke each other out, right? Clark W. Griswold kind of vacation. Even vacations are exhausting when your kids are little. And I think it's so much of life, it just kind of wears us out. Even the joy of it, just the pace of life, right? So whether you're building a family with three little kids like we did or building a career, life can be really demanding and you need a place to rest. Life is exhausting. We have conflict with one another, right? And the worst conflicts are with our spouses. And sometimes we get into that and it wears it out, wears us out. It makes us tired. We experience sickness and setbacks in life that, again, make us tired. Overstimulation from social media, all the pressures of what they're doing, what we're doing, what we think we should be doing, the expectations, the lack of expectations, what's said, what's not said. And we just get worn out, even from our phones, right? The financial pressures wear us out and bring us to that point of wanting to break. Even when we rest, we struggle to rest. We live plugged in. We live online. We're just a text or a click away, right? Never fully resting. And with all that we've been blessed with this in this nation, there are many things that you can achieve and do with your life in this nation. We should be the happiest people on earth, yet we are the world leaders in taking antidepressant drugs. Isn't that crazy? The United States of America, the greatest addiction to antidepressant depression, drugs, and this place that offers so much. We find ourselves so isolated, so alone, so overwhelmed, so exhausted. But the good news is that the Bible tells us that we don't have to let these outside forces crush us. We've been given supernatural help. Talk about some good news. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. He said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened." And if you're feeling some weariness, if you're feeling some load on your shoulder, Jesus gives us these wonderful words, "Come to me." He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart." Have you ever thought of God as gentle and humble of heart? Because that's who he is. The world would like us to believe that he's mad, that he's angry, that he's overbearing, that he's demanding. But he says this, "I'm gentle and humble in heart." And he says, "You will find," here it is, "rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." When we come to Jesus, oftentimes through the help of the local church body, we're able to learn to redistribute weight. And a lot of the problem that you and I have in life is not so much of the things and challenges that we face, but being unable to distribute that weight. Like when it gets tough, when we're really disappointed, when the finances get tough, when the marriage is in a difficult spot, that's when Jesus wants you to come. And when you come to him, that's when the weight is redistributed. He takes that guilt, that shame, that disappointment, that brokenness, takes it off your shoulders, which are small and frail, and puts them on his shoulders, which are very strong and very capable. And as we come to the Lord, we find rest. We find ourselves even in the midst of raising the three kids, even in the midst of doing crazy things like going to the Magic Kingdom for a lack of rest, right? A path towards suicide, so to speak. We find that rest from the Lord that's different than any other thing out there. The Lord loves us enough to lift our load. He loves you enough today to lighten your load. But it's not only the demands of life, but also what happens to us on the inside as we view life. One of the greatest challenges that we face in this culture is the anxiety that we feel towards everything around us. I want to take you to the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. The Apostle Paul says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Notice this, I love it. "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." We're encouraged to go to the Lord with our anxiety and to place our trust in him. And when we go to the Lord, the outcome of that weight being redistributed is that we sense peace. And anxiety and peace, they're not very good roommates, right? They're always fighting against each other. And the key to having the better roommate, peace in your life and in your home, is allowing more of the Lord in and allowing him to push out that anxiety in our lives. And I would say to you today, if there's been loss, if you've lost a loved one, if you lost a relationship, you need some rest. You need a place to grieve. You need a place to cry it out. You need a place to be accepted as you work through that loss. The church is a great place to do that. If there's been mistakes in your life, and most of us have made a few, right? You need some rest. You need a place where grace can be your canopy, not shame and guilt. And what the church does better than any other place out there is it shows us what to do with the guilt and shame in our life that oftentimes hangs over our head. When we appropriate the blood of Jesus, his death for our sin and for our mistakes, he reappropriates shame and guilt that hangs over our head, and he puts it in its rightful place. And where is that? Beneath our feet. And man, that's an awesome way to live. When you're not looking up at shame and guilt, when you're not cowering under the pressure of shame and guilt, but when that shame and guilt has been placed underneath your feet and Jesus raises you up victorious over that stuff in your life, all of a sudden less anxiety, more rest, more peace. The things of the past that oftentimes haunt us and overwhelm us, the mistakes of our youth, you know, the Moron of the Year trophies, and we all have a few of those in our closet, right? What the church does is it points to us to this Lord who's able to draw a line in the sand and say, this is your past and this is your future. And he begins to walk us forward into this newness of life. He begins to heal the brokenness in those relationships and those things in the past that have damaged and hurt us. And if there's guilt and shame in your life, you need rest, and it comes through forgiveness. One of the things that I loved about this church many years ago when we were interviewing for the position is the very name of the church. And I love how the first four letters in the name of Restoration are E-S-T. What is that? Rest. And I would say one of the testimonies, one of the common themes in people coming to Restoration Church is that they find rest for their souls, a place to catch their breath, a place to escape from some of those burdens, to find strength and encouragement to go back out there and do the things that needs to be done. And you see, a local church can help with the rest and recovery that you and your family need. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says this, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." And there's something about coming together, sometimes with people you don't know, and singing these songs that we sing. When the Lord is present, friends, there's freedom. There's rest. We start breathing. We start thinking differently. Things start to get healed. And in the presence of the Lord, that's where the real juice flows. That's where the essence of life comes from. That's where God becomes big and high and lifted up. And all of a sudden, those problems that seem so overwhelming get smaller and smaller because we allow this big God to dwarf those problems in our life. And that happens in this local context called the church. The second blessing that comes from the church is what I would describe as pruning and growth. When we moved to the Fountain Valley some 13 years ago, we bought the worst home in the best neighborhood that we could afford. That was our strategy back then. And it seemed like a brilliant one until we got in the house, and it was a disaster. This house was built in the 80s. It was so overgrown, you couldn't even see the house. Like, it looked like the Sherwood Forest. I mean, it was crazy. Just vines growing, bushes growing, weeds growing. Like, it had not been taken care of. And the first thing that we did, the first 6 months that we were there, is just start pruning things. And just cutting and cutting and cutting until all of a sudden, oh, there's a house back there. And cutting and cutting and cutting until we found the essence of what we wanted in the house. But it took a lot of cutting back before we were ready to grow something new. And I think that that's a great metaphor for our lives. How many know that just things tend to grow? Dysfunction tends to grow. Addictions tend to grow. Depression tends to grow, right? Exhaustion grows. And all of a sudden, just all of this stuff has come in. And all of a sudden, like, the marriage doesn't work. And all of a sudden, the kids, right, are going crazy. Things are a mess. We're in trouble. We're just crowded by the life and all the things of life. The things that seem so good at once are just so complicated now. And friends, without proper spiritual maintenance, the weeds of sin will always find a way in. The unwanted dysfunction will take its course. The brokenness will begin to choke the life out of us. And the local church, again, is very good at giving us the tools that we need to prune our lives, to cut things back to a place of health rather than being choked. And what does that process look like? John chapter 15, verse 1, Jesus' words, he said this, "I'm the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful." What does God want to do for you? He wants to cut back those things that are choking you. He wants to prune those things so that you can grow and become so much more. The right kind of growth. Foundational kind of growth, blessing kind of growth that piles on you not in a bad way, but in a good way in which your cup begins to overflow. And the church is the place for everyone to gather and hear life-giving truth that comes from his word. And it's that divine combination of love and truth, truth and love, that sets us free and frees us up. Isn't that a great thing? So we start hearing that truth, and sometimes that truth cuts. It causes us to question some things, to look in some things, and all of a sudden we find that Holy Spirit empowerment to go ahead and let go of those things with God's help. And what happens? We begin to grow in a positive direction. That anger becomes less. That frustration becomes less because the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, these things start to abound in our life, the right kind of fruits. That begins to drive out those angry emotions, that stubborn spirit. And the more time we spend around the Word of God and around the people of God, the more that we begin to develop prayer and worship and gathering together, God begins to transform our lives. Not overnight, but over time. And here's a family that came because they wanted some stability for their little daughter. And all of a sudden, God got a hold of their hearts. God got a hold of their lives. And they've been on a decade plus now of transformation in their home. And when we make the Bible the center of our life and allow that to begin to speak to us, things change and transform. I'd like to highlight to you a few things in the life of the church here that can help you grow. that can help you grow. And this next slide is going to show you some of the different ministries here at the church. You know, when it comes to children's ministry here at the church, we're not here to babysit your kids. We're here to take the Bible and to pour it in their lives, okay? That's what gives God, gives kids the foundation that they need. The scripture says, train up a child in the way that he or she should go, and when they get old, they will not depart from that. And that's what we want to do, is train your kids up. We want to be part of that spiritual process of training your kids. And boy, our teenagers need the church now more than ever before. The things that they are being taught, the darkness and the culture, the confusion, right? Kids used to go to school to learn arithmetic, to learn English and history. Now it's all about agenda, social agendas being rammed down your throat. And they need the local church to say, this is the truth. This is who Jesus is. This is what the scriptures teach. And we try to pour into youth. We have ministry for women and for men. And sometimes we need to understand that iron sharpens iron. And there's something about a woman who's going through some things in life ministering to another woman who's going through some things in life, or a man with a man. Marriage ministries here. The Evergreen ministry is for our senior adults. RCU is for our discipleship groups. And one of the most recent ministries is Rooted. We're in our third iteration now. If you've not gone through the Rooted class, we offer it usually every quarter. And this is a transformational process to learn about discipleship and growing in Christ. It's such a wonderful experience. I want to encourage you, as we offer Rooted in the months ahead, that you would jump into one of those groups. But what happens in these groups is you get out of an environment of, say, 230 people sitting here today, or maybe more than that, into a smaller environment of 20 people, and all of a sudden you're on a first name basis with something, and all of a sudden someone's testimony comes out in that group that just ministers to you, resonates with where you're at. And it's through that prayer and that interaction and turning to the scripture that we really begin to grow. You know, our church has a deep desire to help you where you're at. And I'd like to mention some of the free resources that we have available in the gathering place today. And I would start with the most important one. If you do not own a Bible, we'd like to give you one today. And on those shelves out there, they look just like this. And we got ones that are big enough to read. Yeah, a few of you relate to that, right? And we have free Bibles for anyone who would want one. And you can bring it each week as we teach through the scriptures. We're in the book of Daniel, so we'll be jumping into that next weekend. We also have these things called our daily bread. If you need some help with some like spiritual coffee in the morning, like waking up, right? These daily devotions can help you get a few verses into you, a few thoughts before you get into your workplace, or maybe during lunchtime or before you go to bed at night. We'd be happy to place one of these in your hands if you would like. For those of you who are new to the faith, you're just coming to Christ and trying to figure out what this is all about, we have Beginning the Journey, a New Believer's Guide. And we'd love for you to have one of these. Would strongly encourage you, if you're new to the faith, to pick one of these up. We also have back there prayers to start your day. So if you're looking to jumpstart your prayer life a little bit, we'd love for you to have one of these. And we also have some tracts. If you're looking to share the faith with someone, this can be a good little tool to help you do that. And then we have a little bit more about the doctrines of our church, that if you want to go a little bit deeper to hear what we believe, all of that stuff is out there as well. And again, all of that stuff is free. Feel free to help yourself anytime you're in the church building. There's a couple shelves off to my right as you make your way out towards the bathrooms, and you can pick some of that up. Let me begin to wrap our time up together by talking about the last blessing from the local church, and that is to put you on a mission and bring a sense of fulfillment to your life. As you experience rest and recovery, and that's a big deal, okay? That's where we start, is rest and recovery. Breathing in the goodness of God, being recharged, be energized for our spiritual condition to be alive. And that's where it all starts, rest and recovery. Then as we begin to go through pruning and growth that comes through a personal relationship with the Lord, there will soon be a desire to take that transformation that's happening in your life and want to see that transformation in other people. You will want to share what Christ is doing in your life. And so much fulfillment comes from our life when we begin to share, when we begin to serve, when we begin to take what's inside of us and we begin to give it to others, when we take our gifts and our talents. And the reality is that God has probably placed 4 or 5 spiritual gifts inside of you. And you're happiest when you're using those things, when you're doing those things. And all of us have a little bit different gift mix. The Bible speaks of about 28 or 29 spiritual gifts. And I can assure you, you will find a whole other gear in your life, like just a whole other place to be when you're doing ministry for the Lord, when you're taking what's inside of you and just simply using it to serve other people. And part of what we do is we take our gifts and our talents and we try to use them here at Restoration Church and point you to a place where you can use your gifts and your talents. I'd like to show you this next slide. It's our advertisement for a group of people who are going to Mexico next month. This will be our 20th trip into the country of Mexico over the years. Isn't that amazing? And we will go there and we will work a million hours a day. It will be crazy. It will be very demanding. And we will do ministry in the evenings and to the day. And it will just be a crazy time. But what's so amazing about taking a missions trip, and I use this case, Mexico, we've been many other places before. And it's usually similar every single time. People will be there for 10 days. And you'll have this long trip back from Mexico, right? You've been in the van like forever. And you're so tired. You're so wore out. You just want to shower and you want to be in your bed. You know what I'm talking about? And it's so amazing. The church vans will pull in. People will get out. You'll hug someone's neck. And the first question will be, when do we get to do this again? And it seems like crazy. It's like, what are you talking about, right? But people find there's a great level of fulfillment when you do the work of God. There's something that makes you come alive when you take your gift for teaching and you minister to kids on a weekend, pouring into young kids. There's something incredibly powerful when you have the ability to use spiritual gifts for the kingdom of God. You're just filled up. It's like you can't give it away enough, and you just get filled up, and you just feel that sense of, yes, this is what I was made to do. And the local church puts us on a mission. And when we're on a mission, using our spiritual gifts, taking our time, our talent, and our treasure, giving it to God, we just find that there's an abundant life that he speaks of. Another sort of for example is this next slide. We usually take people to Israel about every 2 years. Our next trip is in March, and we're starting to get to the back end of beginning to plan that incredible trip. And Israel isn't necessarily a missions trip, but it fulfills a lot of what happens in the life of the church. You know, when we take these trips, we can be so mired in our life, right, in the way that we see things. And I'll tell you what, one of the most mind-blowing experiences to think bigger is to go to Israel. I've done a lot of traveling in my life. I've been very blessed to preach in a lot of different countries since I was young, but I've never been to a place that has more expanded my mind and causes me to want to grow and study more than going to Israel. And there have been about 100 people who have been on these trips from our church in the last few years. And it's just one of those things where you spend, again, 10 days with people, you get on a first name basis, get to see what Jesus did, where he did it. You begin to see the scriptures come to life, and there's just something bonding that happened. There's something special that happens when God's kids are together, whether it's Mexico, whether it's Israel, or whether it's a Wednesday night Bible study. We are made to be together, friends. We are made to share life. And there's some very special things that happen when we bond in that kind of way, doing the things of God. The reality is that we have a mission to take what's inside of us and to share it with other people. What God has done in your life is not meant to be a secret. It's meant to be on display. We're called to be light to a dark world. We're called to be salt to a world that is decaying, that needs preservation, that needs hope, that needs encouragement. As a matter of fact, Jesus' final instructions that he gave his disciples was to go into the world and make disciples of all nations, to go and share what's happened in our lives with other people. We are called to be distributors of this good news. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. I want to start in verse 17 as you see the lead up. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. That's many of you today. You have a new life inside of you. Christ has come inside to dwell. It says, the old is gone and the new is here. All this is from God. Notice this, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. God showed himself through his son Jesus, who died for the sins of the world, and 3 days later resurrected from the dead. And that's what brings that change and transformation, when we put our confidence and our hope in Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. He reconciles us to God. Goes on to say in verse 19, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against him. That's a good place for an amen. Grace makes it so that our sins are not counted against us. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. So we've been reconciled to God. Now he wants us to take that message of how the Lord has brought us to the Lord and share how other people can find the Lord. Verse 20, for we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And we are like these high-ranking officials who work for this great king. And we've been commissioned here on this earth to be ambassadors, to represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to represent this message of goodness and grace, and to demonstrate for people through the way that we live our lives and through the way that we love other people that they too can be saved. See, God has placed us here on purpose. He's placed you here on purpose, in your neighborhood, in your office, in your school, on your sports team, in your family, to make an appeal on others' behalf and point them to the Lord. And for me, the faith community, the body of Christ, has made all the difference in the world. And I believe that the difference that you need in your life can come through the local church. I'll rephrase where I started. This is not a perfect place, but it is a place that points to a perfect God. And when that perfect God is put on display, when we brag about him, when we boast of him, when we worship him, when we yield our lives to him, friends, when he is high and lifted up, he can draw all people to himself. And that's the context of the local body. And if you're here and you're tired and you're wore out, the first four letters in the name of this church is rest. We will give you a place to rest, to heal, to grieve, to overcome some things in the past. We're here to help you prune your life, to show you these are the tools, this is the truth, this is how you apply the scripture. And when you allow those scriptures to begin to prune your life, you'll find that there is growth and there's abundance that you never could imagine by being free from some of those things in your life. We, my friends, are a group of people that will remind you of the mission, the high and holy calling that God has placed upon you and your family, and point you to that mission so that your heart can be overflooded with fulfillment of taking your time and your talent and your treasure and using them for the kingdom of God. We are those Christ ambassadors. We are the body of Christ. We are a place of rest and recovery, pruning and growth, mission and fulfillment. Would you stand with me today?